Welcome back to another edition of Every Step of the Way Bible Study Discussion Group. A little more information about us. We're more of a discussion forum, a group of brothers that get together every Tuesday and talk about the gospel, share scriptures, and we tie it in with real life situations and try to make it plain and hopefully everybody can relate to it. And we try to just bounce things off each other and make it make sense to the average man or even a seasoned person in the word. So hopefully you enjoy it.
It's the group discussion everyone wants more of. The type of conversation people want to be a part of. We share the gospel, scriptures, and we talk real life situations. You've heard us and followed us on Facebook Live. Now you can watch us right here on the Vision Live Network. The wait is over. It's now time for the Hour of Truth. Welcome to the Every Step of the Way Bible Discussion Podcast. The real starts now.
Brother Josh, grab us by the hand, man, and take us down this journey with us.
All right. Well, the first scripture I want to start with. Initially, when we had first talked about this, Todd, I didn't include this one, but I shared with you and Jerome and Brother Charles something that happened to my family and everything that kind of made me think, sit back and think about it. And I feel like this is part of the spiritual growth, but it's going to be Matthew chapter 5 verse 16. And that verse says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I feel like that is just speaking to us just always, you know, trying to minister when we can and just showing and just trying to be the men of God that, you know, we say we are and everything that we do, and also being a part of us being bold. And I feel like, you know, part of your light shining is sometimes you telling your story. I'm going to a little testimony here. Last Wednesday morning, me and Todd talk every morning starting around 8:30 till probably about 9:15 or 9:30. It's just kind of our little fellowship that we do at work. And me and him were talking about how the enemy, how no matter how low you are spiritually or how high you are spiritually, how he always finds a way to attack you. And right. We had a good conversation about that. And about 11 o'clock, I got a phone call. My mama had told me that her favorite cousin, one of my cousins named Frankie, said that he had been killed. And, you know, I was like, oh, man, it kind of had me in my feelings there. And then she told me, she said, well, him and his little brother, Jimmy, got into an argument and Jimmy shot and killed his brother. And let me go back a little bit. I'm sorry. Before Brother Glenn, Brother Jerome brought it up, and then Brother Glenn led us in that scripture on death and everything and what death really is and really means. I was horrible dealing with death. You could be, you know, from anything from my dad when he passed to you could be a 12th or 13th cousin. It just, I didn't handle death right. And I felt something, you know, when Brother Glenn did that scripture and everything. I didn't really know what it was, but when I found that information out, I was angry, I was sad, I was upset. And, you know, I had to take some time away. So I went in, I got a back office where I can go away from my counter there at work. And I went in the back room and I just prayed, and God allowed me to, you know, kind of calm down and reset. But it wasn't until I got home and I got back in the notes and the scriptures that Brother Glenn had went over with us. And I just had a sense, like I was telling him, I just felt warm and just had a sense of peace over me. And one of the main things that stuck out, and Brother Charles reiterated it Friday, was death is just a gateway to God's glory. It's a bad way to go, and it affects the whole family, and it affects those that we lost, two cousins that we lost. But when I thought about that, I said, man, Frankie, I'm sure as soon as he put one toe over that line and experienced the smallest bit of God's glory, he don't want to come back here. He's where he needs to be and where he wants to be. Mm-hmm. And that just, I just felt warm and just a sense of peace. And my mom called me later on that night, and she was, you know, understandably upset. And I just shared with her some of the notes and everything and some of the stuff I learned. And I could just see in her face just that meanness and upset and just everything just kind of fall off her. And she was like, you know what, you really taught me something. And she said, I appreciate that. That's just something that I needed. So I just wanted to, you know, get a little bit of a testimony, because I feel like it's important that, you know, we don't be boastful, because I know that God used Brother Glenn as a vessel to deliver that message, and ultimately all the glory and praise to him, Brother Glenn to be able to deliver that. And then, you know, for me and my mother to be able to apply that and to really live and feel that. So I feel like the first step in spiritual growth is, applying what you learn to real life in everyday situations. Let's see. The second scripture is going to come from Hebrews 6:1. And that says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. And to me, that means that, you know, faith without work is dead.
Right.
We can't read the word and say we understand the word and, you know, that we're men of God if we're not practicing that word. So I feel like that another aspect of spiritual growth is the faith in your works. I mean, you got to say what you mean what you say, and minister to, you know, any and everyone, especially those who may be on the fence, especially those who may be lost. And sometimes even those who may be more knowledgeable than us. Sometimes we all just need that little pick me up to get us back on track. And I was telling Todd that I was in a tough spot when I first came here in every aspect of my life. And I just feel like that everything that I was going through, everyone has touched on a certain aspect at some point in time. And I'm not perfect. I'm not going to portray to be perfect. I know that I'm just a sinner saved by his grace. I try to apply everything that I learn, and I try to study as much as I can. And it is hard sometimes, but I think that as long as you're trying and you want to glorify him in everything that you do and practice his preachings and apply to your everyday life, that you'll find a peace that you never knew you had in dealing with some of the hardest things that you'll ever have to deal with. Let's see. What's the next one? And then we got Matthew 7:26. I just felt like that this is God just telling us and keeping it as plain as day in these two verses here. The first one, it says, Matthew 7:26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And then Proverbs 1:32 says, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet. It says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. That's two times in the Bible that God says that we're fools. And that's just, we can't stand still. We can't stay stagnant, like, you know, Brother Ty brought up. We have to always grow in his word and try to grow in his word, try to learn and everything. And we can't stay stagnant. That's just my interpretation on it. I don't know if, you know, any of you guys have another interpretation, anything you want to chime in with, but I just thought that those were two clear times in the Bible when God told us that we were fools if we stand still and we don't get in his works and really work and apply what we're learning. So I guess the first question I have with that is, how do we constantly grow and not stay stagnant? Because at some point, and I know it's reaching out to others and everything, but if we're ministering to those who aren't as strong in the word, how do we encourage them? And, you know, how do we have them to continue to grow and seek God in some of the toughest times instead of just folding and giving up and going to their safe place?
Man, Charles talked Sunday. We talked a good little while Sunday out in the yard, and we was going back to where we came from in our spiritual journey to this day. And for me, I'm just running, man. I know he's after me. I know he's after me. So I have to continue to grow. I can't stay still because I done been wrapped up in all kinds of stuff. So when I'm not growing, the stuff that I was entangled in, they start to feel, when those things start to get more comfortable again, then I know I'm not growing. But as long as I'm growing, the things that was Big Five, the things that Big Five was comfortable in, those things should always be uncomfortable as long as I'm growing. But when I stop growing, I'm back in my natural habitat. So that's kind of what we were just talking about Sunday.
Yeah, I think that it has a lot to do with not settling.
I like that.
If you don't settle, then you have no choice but to grow. But when you settle or you sit stagnant, then moss begins to grow on it. It's the same scenario to a lawnmower. If you use the lawnmower consistently, it never had time to gather that collective dust, you know, the old gray dust that you see in some of the lawnmowers that's sitting in the shed for like 4 or 5 years, that white dust. It can't nothing carry dust if it don't sit still.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to stay vigilant in our movements. What I mean by movements, we have to stay prayed up. We have to stay focused on the things that are of God. We have to put ourselves in an uncomfortable position sometimes. What I mean by uncomfortable, sometimes we have to say, you know what? I'm wrong. I need to go seek help. And it's okay to be wrong, because like we all on this journey together. I may not know everything about God, just like Josh or Todd, but collectively, when you reach out to other people, you will find the answer you need at some point. That's all I got, man.
But the word, I actually was going to talk about when he asked the question as far as what can we do to continue to grow. And Rick, you just touched on it. The word I was looking for is humble. Glenn, yes, about that before when we talked about pride.
Exactly. Pride
before the fall. And sometimes, and again, it goes back to what Glenn was talking about in one of the previous lessons. You know, when that pride gets up and we think we are more than God,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's when we stop growing. That's mm-hmm. when we mm-hmm. step, because we get in our minds that we know better. Mm-hmm. When we done been down that road before, where exactly. But now we done got a little comfortable, so to speak, and talk about being uncomfortable, where we done got a little comfortable because we done got a little knowledge and we done got a little
right.
No more. Mm-hmm. And see, that's when we become stagnant again, when we stop relying mm-hmm. on God. Todd talking about standing still, we stand still when we stop relying on God. Mm-hmm. We stop letting him lead us. We stop letting him push us. We stop letting him guide us. We stop mm-hmm. reaching out for help. We stop mm-hmm. listening to discipling from other brothers about our relationship, mm-hmm. what we are doing. Mm-hmm. That's when our growth stops.
You know, Prince, and you gave me two other words to go along with that, called hunger and thirst.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You got to have both of those. When you dealing with God, you got to have the hunger to want to. Yep. To keep growing and keep getting the knowledge of God. You got to have that thirst to want to quench it to where, hey, I need to feed myself spiritually daily.
Mm-hmm.
Without those, you're basically lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to jump in there too. You know, I can't remember the scripture right up, but when you know, Rick, you hit it right on the head. When you thirst and hunger of after righteousness, the righteousness of God, you shall be filled. You know, and what the fellows was talking about, you know, you can't be so puffed up and high-minded, you know, that we think that we all arrived there. And I was thinking about, you know, we must still study to show ourselves approved, right, and to be able to divide the word of truth. But the but really came to my spirit too is this group of men that we're that's in this group, and how we fill each other with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and our experiences in life, and seeing Josh on tonight and seeing how God is using him, you know, and like we can't get complacent. We got to continue to seek God. We got to continue to go after his knowledge. And this thing right here, when we in this group of men right here, this is so powerful, mm-hmm. man. You know, it gives you the hunger and thirst to come on every Tuesday night to all be right. able to you know, and the life experiences that all the men that are on this call, you know, it's so powerful that when you can come on here and you can share and give your point of views and what God has done in your life. Because remember before we talked about sometime the only Bible that people will see will be us because mm-hmm. they're not reading the word. So mm-hmm. just to stay focused on what you're doing with your life and be able to impart someone in somebody else's life as well. And to hear that young man on tonight and being able to share the word, I mean, all you got to do is continue to pray, continue to study, but just know that where all of us come from, because one water, one plant, but what? God get the increase. So yeah. we just got to continue to do what you're doing. Josh, continue to do what you're doing. All we're doing is going to encourage you, my brother. It's powerful on tonight, you know, what you just brought up. And our light will continue to shine, too, when we give God the glory, the honor, and God will reward us diligently, because only what we do for Christ will last.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, can I chime in on that real quick?
Go ahead.
Hey, I know in my journey, one thing that I know that I used to do is I was selfish.
Jesus.
You know, I know you can't do that, man. You know, that's my answer to Josh's question. You can't be selfish, man. Because when you do that, you know, it's like, to me, you're not only stopping your growth, you could be hindering, you know. Prime example, when I was selfish, I didn't know that my oldest daughter was watching me. So then when I realized that, wait a minute, someone put a bug in me, hey, your daughter's watching you. She's doing everything what mm-hmm. you do.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to drop my selfishness, got myself back in the word, and it actually got her where she needed to be. So that's one thing I wanted to put out there, man. We can't be selfish with it either.
I'm gonna jump in here now. Josh, first of all, great question. A question that I've always thought about. And then I'm gonna answer it this way. Number one for me, and I always talk about for me because I can't go about anybody else, but my growth didn't come easy. It's still not coming easy. But the more knowledge I get, the more I tend to grow. But now I'm finding that just gaining knowledge is not enough.
Right.
And what I mean by that is I'm learning to apply the knowledge that I'm gaining. And just to give you guys an illustration of what I'm talking about, when you look through the Bible, there are so many scriptures on giving to the poor and doing for the needy, things of that nature. So what I've taken on now in Baltimore, my wife and I, we went hunting for all the homeless people Saturday and Sunday. She solicited her family to give coats and blankets. And we went out Saturday and we giving them out. We finding homeless people on the ground and we giving them blankets, we giving them coats. Sunday, we found almost 30 of them and we giving blankets and we giving coats, man. And they almost bombarded me. So today, this morning, I told Todd, man, God placed in my spirit Monday morning that they needed water. So I got up this morning, man, and I went and bought 8 cases of water and took it down there to them, man. So now, man, through my knowledge, through my studying, I am learning that not only do we have to gain knowledge, we have to apply the knowledge the way Jesus went about that knowledge. And that means I'm growing because now that I understand the word, I have to put the word into action.
Action, right. Right.
So I'm trying to, man, things I've seen this weekend, some things I've seen this weekend broke my heart. I mean, I saw a lady this morning, man. She was so cold. She was so cold, y'all.
Jesus.
I think the next question that I had.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
The Bible said, all that I get understanding. And to have spiritual growth means you got to understand that when you get a word in you, it's not for you to hold on to. It's for you to share.
Right. Right.
Scripture says that you're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony. Your testimony just ain't what you talk about. It's who you are, what you become, what you show. Mm-hmm. And just like Jerome was just testifying to how, you know, God will change your circumstances and put you in a position to change mm-hmm. somebody else's. A part of spiritual growth is knowing that there is a change has come. The Bible says that in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and that he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in its season. One thing about rivers is they never stop flowing. And if a tree is planted there, his roots will gravitate to the water and get into the water. And once it gets into water, it will begin to nourish or be nourished by the water. Jesus said we are to be washed by the watering of the word. And so if we allow mm-hmm. ourselves to be planted in the word, we won't get stagnant because we'll always be seeking right. a new glory because we are to right. go from glory to glory. And then when we have enough understanding, because Paul said that all that I get understanding, when we get understanding, we start to apply it, then we see more the spiritual growth. And what's so awesome is if you're applying the word of God in the right context in your heart, then it's less likely that you'll become boastful because you'll right. understand your place. You'll stay right. humble. And even if you try to get above God, he will send you a messenger of Satan like he did Paul to keep you in a place of where you understand that something can knock you down. But when it knocks you down, you got to stay in me so I can pick you back up.
Right.
So a part of spiritual growth is acknowledging that you are growing. And then after you acknowledge you are growing, then you just stay on that path.
Right. And you pretty much went into the next question that kind of came up for me on that, Glenn, but Is there a spiritual cap on our knowledge? Is there any way that we can be, you know, in the word so much and so long that it's nothing else for us to learn? Or is there always something for us to learn or differently?
It's always. Have you guys ever read a scripture and you go back a few months or a few weeks later and you read the exact same scripture but you get a total different understanding?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's because God will give you a new perspective. Your perspective changes by situation and circumstances that you're in. And there's always knowledge. It is ever growing. He increases your knowledge. The more you get to him, Paul says, though I have the understanding of all things, but have not love, I'm nothing.
Nothing.
So you got to understand that. And it's still not everything that we can get. Jesus said that I come in the volume of the book written by me. And then Revelation said that all the trees in the world could not make enough paper to even write down the miracles that he did.
Right.
So there is no way that we can get all of the knowledge. But what we can do is not be so conceited in ourselves to think that we have arrived. As an old saying, say, you're so heavenly bound, you're no earthly good. You know, so you got to make sure that when you're applying that word, don't get so indignant inside yourself.
Right.
That's one thing I love, that we lay aside titles. Nobody got no titles. We're about being men of God. And
correct.
That God has put for us. None of us is greater than the other one because in the eyes of God, we are all the same, his children.
That's
so
right.
For me, I cannot see scripturally. I know there is no too much knowledge because God says, if you ask me, I'll fill you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a constant evolution.
I think that what Glenn said, I could be wrong, but to me, that's the definition of wisdom.
Mm.
the different, the knowledge that you have with the different variations of that knowledge, the different Ooh. Applications of one particular scripture that I've learned, and he gives me different application, different circumstances, and then I keep that in my memory bank and continues. And that's how we become wise. That's what I think, that's the definition of wisdom to me.
I give you an example. Everybody remember the fig tree when they were going along and Jesus walked from the fig tree?
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you read that scripture, it said the fig tree, it was not its time yet. So in the natural, it wasn't able to bear fruit because it wasn't time for it to bear fruit. And if you read that scripture, Jesus cursed it. You say, well, why did he curse it? Because it wasn't his time. So why would you curse something when it was doing naturally what it was put here to do? But then you understand that when the Bible also says that when that which is perfect come, it deserves all things. So when Jesus craned there, the Bible said it was dressed and looked like it was ready to bear fruit, but when he found none, he cursed it. Now, if you read that scripture, you're thinking it's a bad thing, correct? Mm-hmm. That's the connotation you get?
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at it this way. How is it that when Jesus come and he asked for the fruit that you bear, if you're not ready to bear fruit, then you're cast out? See the two different connotations that scripture gives? Because if you are bearing fruit, if he comes to you at that season in your life and said, I want fruit, and you don't bear fruit at the coming of the Son of Man, when you appear before him, if you don't have fruit, then you're like the fig tree, you're cast off. But if you bear fruit, you must be able to bear fruit at the moment that he asks you for. Mm-hmm. So Josh, we're talking about spiritual growth. It's taking application of the scripture and put it in the proper context so that you can not only teach yourself, but be able to be relatable and teach others.
Right.
Did I go too far, too deep?
No, that's good. That's good.
So we often see a scripture and it has so many meanings. Mm-hmm. And from the different person that sees the scripture, I may see one thing, you may see something totally different.
Be different.
And both of us be right.
Right, correct.
That's what we have to understand about knowledge. Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we look at the word, we all can be sitting in one room,
mm-hmm.
and everybody is in the room is asked, "What do you see?"
Mm-hmm.
And as you tell people what you see, there is going to be some details you didn't see that somebody else see.
Mm-hmm.
But now it comes down now, who is right and who is wrong? It's all in how God revealed his truth to every one of us. And far as the word, it is so powerful and so deep. The only way that we can see the truth in his word is when the Holy Ghost enlighten your eyes to see the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I can read until he steps in and enlighten you and pull back the veil so you can see what he's saying. Man, And the good part about that is Rick can read the same thing, the same scripture I just read, and see another truth in it that I've never, ever seen before. And man, that makes you want to jump up and run. I ain't never seen that before.
Yeah.
That's, to me, that's exciting, man.
Yeah.
You know, Charles, what you speak of.
That gets me stirred up.
Charles, what you're speaking of is called perspective, different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it boils down to, different perspective.
And you know, and that's true, different perspective. And I love what you said, Charles, but when the Holy Spirit comes,
mm-hmm.
we all see things differently, but then it reveals to us personally what God is saying about our own experience.
Right,
because individual experience is lightened. We may be in the same room, see the same thing, but how our experiences in life have dictated to us, that's how we see it.
Yes.
When the Holy Spirit adds that connotation to it, that, you know, when Jesus spoke about this, that's what he says. He said that the conflict will come and he will bring all things back to remembrance.
Yes. Right.
tell you everything whatsoever I have said. Mm-hmm. So when we look at it through God's eyes by way of the Holy Spirit, we're seeing it spiritually. At first, we may take it as being something bad.
Yes.
But then when we right. start looking at it through the Holy Spirit, through God's eyes, we see how actually that thing was a turnaround. It's something good. It's something that yep. he can use and build upon for right. down the road.
Right.
Look at the story of Jesus. I mean, yeah, you had what John's version, you had Mark's version, you had yeah. Luke's, and mm-hmm. each one saw from a different perspective. Yep. Right. Gave a little bit more detail than the others gave. Mm-hmm. They told the story of Jesus. So we all got a different look at how each individual was with Jesus and his walk. And the same thing, we get that out of the scriptures today. Mm-hmm. When we look at the scriptures, I mean, that is nothing no one has already said here, especially when we each has preached the word or delivered a message. It could be the same message that you taught in, you might have preached in church on Sunday, but Josh done brought it from another angle, yep. just a little yeah. Session here. Mm-hmm. So now we got a new look at it.
Yep.
So growth, we still continue to grow.
Let me ask you a question, Glenn.
Yep.
In that same room and the perspective that we're talking about, how much could it be, how much is that tied to our purpose and our gifts that he has for us? Is any, could it be tied to, we see different things in the same room because he has different assignment and purpose and bless us with different gifts, some with different gifts.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely is determining about right. your gifts and your purpose.
Right.
You know, everything that you're going to go through is going to enhance your purpose here for God. Mm. There is nothing wasted. That's why the Bible says right. that he bottles right. up your tears for that appointed season. There's nothing wasted. And when you see it, you get to see. Jerome, just talking about going out and ministering. If Jerome will tell you his whole story, he'll tell you himself, that's not who he used to be.
Right.
However,
right.
now God has transformed him by way of the Holy Spirit to mm-hmm. use his gift. Jerome right. has a gift of humility and humbleness and giving. You know, and so he's been transformed by that. You can be in a room and God puts you in a situation where you may have the gift of speaking prophetically to somebody. And mm-hmm. he'll use you to speak to them in a way that they know that is him speaking. So
right.
our availability is always to him. When you lay aside yourself and say, I'm right. open to you, he'll use you at that appointed time and that season for what he called you to be. The You're book right. of Esther is exactly for that. If you look at the book of Esther, it's exactly what he talks about. He right. said, you have been chosen for this purpose, mm-hmm. for such a time as this.
Yes.
And her purpose was to save Israel from destruction by the mm-hmm. hand of Haman.
Right.
So a lot of times we're put in places in time to be available to God so God can use us to bring forth what he needs to be brought forth in the earth realm at that time. He's powerful. He can just put it there, but he uses his vessels, those who are willing to be used. Mm. Think about the Virgin Mary. He appears unto Mary and he tells her, you shall conceive a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save from the sin. She asked him a question. She said, how could this be? Seeing yeah, right. I've never known a man. Right. She was available. She didn't say, not me, no, She said, how can this be seeing I've never known a man? And then the angel told her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall conceive.
Right.
And she said, be it unto thy handmaid. She mm-hmm. made herself available. Her gift was to carry the word, to bring forth the right. word. So right. if the season comes and the timing comes and we're fulfilling our purpose, God can use us because we're available as long right. as we're willing to be used. Amen?
Right.
Amen. Amen. Let me jump in here right quick. Okay. Josh, again, Josh, another great question.
Yes.
First Timothy 6:20-21.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to read it to you guys because it's on the same. It says, O Timothy, guard the deposits entrusted to you. He's yes. talking about that, guard that knowledge that God give to you. Then it says, avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. See, sometimes we can get so much knowledge that we started contradicting what the word is saying.
Right.
We'll be talking to each other and we're contradicting it because now our knowledge done gained so much that we're taking things out of context.
That's right.
This is what God says in verse 21. He said, but for by professing it, some have swerved from the faith because they're professing to have knowledge and they're using that knowledge in the wrong way. So when somebody like Glenn or George, who knows a good word, he contradicts what they're saying, they swerve from the faith because they don't know what they believe anymore.
Right.
So you can gain all the knowledge, but you got to use that knowledge in the right manner. He'll take it from you. God gives and he takes it away from you. Or he'll confuse your mind if you started thinking that you know more than him. He'll confuse you to make you not even know what you're reading. So you just gotta be careful with that word, man.
And that's the reason he says, study to show thyself approved. A workman unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then he tells us that word is good for doctrine, reproof, correction, that the man may be perfect and skillful in the word of God. So it's like Jerome is saying, when the word is in you, if you're using it in the right context, it begins to grow. It begins to build on you. That's why Jesus comes and talks about the parable of the seed of the sower. He says some fell on good ground, fell on stony ground, and some the birds came and ate. And he was talking about knowledge. He was talking about when you get that word, Satan comes immediately. But if you have the word correctly applied in your life, there ain't too much that's going to shake you from your faith.
Right.
If you know, I often tell people, if you look at Romans goes from reckoning to knowing, to being persuaded. You look at 8 and 18, says, I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then verse 38, for I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor things present, nor things come, nor angel, nor man be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It is three processes, from reckoning to knowledge to persuasion. And once you are persuaded, nothing's going to rock your boat. It may come and try to sway you, but if you are staying studying, staying vigilant in the word, using the gifts that Todd has given you by way of the fruit of the spirit, you will see God open up your understanding even the more.
Right.
Amen.
It's good, man.
Anybody got anything else on that? All right. I think the last question that I had on that kind of hits hard to home because it makes me question myself a lot. As I tell you, me and my wife were talking the other day and I told her, you know, the spiritual walk that I'm on, I feel like there's nothing that can knock me off of that. But sometimes I think about ministering to those who may come up and ask in places like a place of work or something like that, where HR has flat out, you know, religion, politics, and all that, you can't talk, leave it at home, you can't talk about it. And that conflicts me because I feel like I love my God more than I love my job. And I don't see the reasoning that is a rule or, you know, a policy or whatever. And so if I have somebody that comes to me, I find myself kind of shying away and, you know, taking them into my office to do it. But on the flip side of that, I feel like with me and Todd, when we talk, we're in the parking garage, no matter who coming up, who's walking by, who's listening or whatever, we get in the word, we talk about what we want to talk about. And, you know, that doesn't come up. But like when somebody that I feel like could go and call HR and say, hey, you know, I asked him about this and, you know, I just wanted to see, he told me this or whatever, and could get me fired and take my livelihood. It just kind of makes me a little leery. And I just want to know, I don't know if that really makes sense, but just want to know if I'm going about it the right way, or is there another way that I should be looking at that?
What was really your question, George? I didn't get it.
I think what he's referring to is, how do he minister to people at work when his job doesn't allow for religion?
Well, I'm gonna answer that because I kind of understand your position, Josh, but ministering to people doesn't have to be pulling somebody to the side to talk to them about the word of God. Sometimes people can see your light and see the way you carry yourself and the way you go about your business. And then they'll see something in you, and then they'll come to you at the appropriate time, and you'll get an opportunity. So don't put your job in jeopardy, because God wouldn't want that. God wouldn't want you to put your jeopardy, because we still have to follow government rules and things that we put in place, that's put in place for us. But don't put your job in jeopardy. God do understand that. But by you walking, living it, breathing it, somebody on your job, believe it or not, that you would say, hey, there's something different about
it.
It's something
They see you, trust me.
So just keep doing what you're doing, man, and live for the Lord, and God will make it work. He'll put that person that needs to talk to you, he'll put them in your way. You'll cross paths with them, you'll bump into them, you'll be somewhere where you won't get in no trouble. God has set it up in here, Allen. I believe
that. And to piggyback on what Ron saying, Josh, when people see how you glow and how you carry yourself, they'll come to you and say, hey, man, after work, can I talk to you? Because everybody's aware of the policy. Every job has some kind of policy or procedure. So, so if they really want to know, they'll come to you and say, hey, after work, can I holler at you for a minute, or on your lunch break, can I talk to you? And those are your platforms then to do what you need to do. But like Jerome said, don't jeopardize your livelihood neither.
I'm going to tell you something. I understand what Josh is saying, because I struggle with that. And I'm just not the type to go up to people and want to just, you know, I'm not one of those people that believe in your Bible thumper. I got to hit you across the head with the Bible. Every time I look around, I got to be talking to you about scriptures and trying to get you to come to God. I'm not that type. So I believe that, hey, I'm going to walk it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to do what I need to do. And if you see something in me that you want to talk to me about God, you're going to know it by my light. And by the way of my life. And then if you want to talk to me, I'm gonna be open, but I'm not just gonna run out there and say, oh man, you know what, you're doing this wrong, and I need to talk to you. I need to, you know, I need to put anoint your head with oil so you can get it right. I'm just not gonna do that, man. I'm just gonna, because I understand I was always one of those people that I didn't want it done to me. You know, I appreciate you praying for me and trying to talk to me, but don't beat me over the head with it.
And that's often you see stuff like that, Jerome. When you, some people out here, they take the fact that they're in the God and they use it as a way to, what's the word I'm looking, biblically assassinate you.
And you know,
often that's not the way to a person's heart or to get them to sway to the Lord. You just need to give them the fruits of what you're receiving.
So
sometimes though, we get bigger. When we get into that word of God, man, we start to think we better than everybody, and we just got this thing down. And you know, a babe in Christ can be very difficult. They can be very difficult to deal with, because you know it's all about them right now, man, and they know it, and they got it, and they're proud of themselves, and they want to show everybody the knowledge, the new knowledge that they have attained. And I've seen it from both sides.
I want to tell you, Josh, there is a scripture that covers that. Daniel chapter 6, verses 10 through 28. Now, Daniel was the chancellor. He was over the affairs of the king. And while he was on the king's job, he did the king's job. But he went home and he opened his window and he prayed, even after the king said no prayer. But what he did in the privacy of his home was to honor God.
Right.
Do you honor the rules of the job? Because like Jerome said, you don't want to make any waves there. But once you off that job and you off their premises and somebody approach you, then you give them what you got. Because that's what you have to offer. And God will honor that. But it Daniel chapter 6 covers that, because it's the story of Daniel, where Daniel was doing the exact same thing. You know, there was a proclamation, you're not to pray.
Take
any petition before any God and for this amount of time. And Daniel went and prayed, and they used it to set him up because they knew that he was a man of God.
Right.
So they tried to trap him with his practices. So be careful that people try to trap you with your practices. Make sure that you do it at the appropriate time and your own, so that way when they accuse you, you stand righteously. And that's what we have to see, because If they put a rule out and said no politics, no religion, that's their rule. That's HR. That's what they're mm-hmm. doing. You are about right. to abide by the law of man. Go ahead, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
No, so, go ahead. But Daniel chapter 6, it talks about that. That mm-hmm. whole story is about what you're talking about.
Right.
If okay. it's me and somebody say, hey, I need to talk to you. I got a question, man, about spending my job. They know they don't really care. However, mm-hmm. if it's something I know they need some in-depth counsel, all right, hit me up after work. We'll meet right. somewhere. We'll have a conversation. We'll talk about it.
Right.
And we break bread and we have a conversation. Right. But, you know, I get it because you want to be available. Mm-hmm. And sometimes your surroundings don't allow you to be available.
Exactly.
But all you have to do is say, you know what, make a plan to come back. Just that way you give them the opportunity to express so that they also see that you abide by you're a man of God, so you're going to abide by the proper authority.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you're going to give all authority to the one that's above you so that when you get together with them, your testimony right there shows them that you live by the truth, that you're trying to do right. all you can to do what's right. And right. I think God gets more glory from you doing it that way than you trying to be blatant against the rules and buck against the system.
Right, correct.
Disobedience. Because disobedience is a witchcraft. And so mm-hmm. you're disobedient and think God's going to bless it. We have to do things in decency and in order. Exactly. And that way it'll come forth and God will be glorified by it.
Right, correct.
Right. Yeah, Josh, so... You know, like Glenn is saying, like Jerome said, at the end of the day, when a person comes to you and they want that nourishment, they going to do it in a setting to where it's going to be beneficial for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Not just going to put you on the spot. They'll come to you and say, hey, you know, I need to really talk to you. If possible, can we get together after work and have a drink, go meet someone, have a drink, a coffee or something, and sit down and talk? Because when someone's really looking for the word, they gonna come to you and present it to you in a way to where you can give it to them righteously.
Righteously, yep.
Okay. I appreciate it. I think what I struggled, and I appreciate y'all breaking it down the way y'all did, but this was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's a little young guy that works for me. He had came up to me and asked me about my walk and everything because I think he came up to the counter one day. He overheard me and Todd talking, and I felt I didn't want to lose him. I didn't want to, feel like I was pushing him off or anything like that. But and at the same time, the manager and me got to thinking about the rules and like, well, you know, I can't really talk about this. But then it came right back to, I can't remember the scripture, but the word tells us to be bold, and I felt like I wasn't doing it. I was cowering down, so I see it from the perspective that y'all are talking about, but just that's where I was a few weeks ago in that situation. And I just I'm out of it.
Wow. Josh, the first scripture you gave was mm-hmm. what? Matthew what?
Matthew.
Like that poor shine before men.
I can't hear you.
Read it. Matthew.
Read it again.
Matthew 5:16.
Yeah, read it to me.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me get back to it.
You know how them old folk go, they struggle.
Yeah, except that they had a steak and stuff.
That's it.
The eye is kicking in.
Look at Matthew 5:16.
Mm-hmm.
And it says what?
In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
That's it. You allow your light to shine.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That light is going to shine from what God has deposited on the inside of you, from mm-hmm. that intimate relationship with Him. And that intimate relationship is going to produce His glory. It's going to produce glory, and you don't have to go out. And like we already said, beat somebody over the head. That glory is going to be revealed through your works.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't hide that, and you won't be able to hide it. Like we said earlier, they will see something that's mm-hmm. different about Josh. and you don't have to go out. Oh, the wages of sin is death. Oh, you
right, you're
right. Come on. Relationship. What God has deposited on you or within you is His presence and His glory. And the more you develop that intimate relationship, and that's for all of us, the mm-hmm. more that glory will be released.
Exactly, Josh. So when that young man came and asked you, he said he wanted to talk to you about your walk. You didn't have to bring up the policy, just say, hey, let's talk about this at lunchtime or after work. I like to meet with you, sit down and explain to you in depth.
Gotcha.
That way you ain't brushing them off, but you kind of staying within the guidelines, but you mm-hmm. let him know you're gonna give him what he's looking for if he just bear with you to the time you go to lunch or till you get off work.
Guys, that was all I had. I don't know if anybody has anything else they want to chip in or anything, but man, I appreciate y'all. Y'all really gave me a new perspective on this thing.
I want to chip in. I want to take this opportunity to thank Josh.
Amen.
What I'm about to say goes along with letting our light shine. But can I get through this? I want to challenge everybody on every step of the way. I'm doing something, and my wife and I are doing something up here in Baltimore, but there's nothing stopping, you guys that live in Greenville, you guys mm-hmm. that lives in Columbia.
Right.
We're living in our homes and we're warm.
Right.
Man, there's people out there here living under a bridge.
Right.
And I saw 30 people living under a bridge, and it's calling for snow tonight, 6 to 12 inches of snow tonight up here.
Jesus, yeah, so that's right.
And I know George. He lived up here. He probably know what I'm talking about.
Jesus, Lord Jesus.
So I'm just asking. I have everybody got to do their own thing, but I'm just asking everybody, man, to look at your situation, look in your closet. If you got mm-hmm. clothes or anything that you're not using, mm-hmm. take mm-hmm. it. And I'm not talking about taking it to Goodwill so they can look at it and turn around.
Right, right.
I'm saying take a little bit of your time, man, and go give it away free so yeah. somebody won't have to go to – it's people out there that don't have a ride to Goodwill, mm-hmm. don't have a ride to a thrift store. Mm-hmm. We need to take it to somebody, man, and give it to them free where they don't have to go nowhere. They get it right out of your
right.
car. And, man, I'm going to tell y'all something. Mm-hmm. It's the best thing I ever done as a man. I'm not going to even say I'm Christian, man. I'm going to say mm-hmm. as a man, I have mm-hmm. never done nothing better than that. Nothing. Good. Anything, any accolades for sports, nothing touched that. Nothing.
Right.
Even the military don't even touch that.
Right.
I never felt the feeling that I felt this weekend and today, man. I'm just being honest with you. And it's not for show, because nobody know who you are. You just pulling up in a vehicle.
Right, correct.
And coming up and getting it. And it's no accolades now. It's nothing you going to get but the glory of God.
That's the
feeling of God's going to give you in your heart.
Right, correct.
Ain't no people going to see you that know you and pat you on the back. You're not getting none of that. So I'm just going to tell you now before you do it. You're not getting pat on the back for it.
Right.
It's just something you need to do from your heart, man.
Right.
You got to do it from your heart, man. You just right. take some clothes and don't take it to Goodwill. Take it downtown Columbia if you live in Columbia.
Right.
I'm sure we got them in Columbia. I'm sure you got them in Greenville.
Yeah.
They everywhere. People living and they need, man. And I think we mm-hmm. can do that, guys. I'm right. challenging everybody to do that. Amen. I just feel like it's a need, man. It's such a right. blessing. It's such a blessing. And if we're going right. to hear about God, if we're going to walk and do what Jesus would do, I think he would do that. I think Jesus
right.
would right. I think Jesus would feed the poor and look out for the poor. And if right. they need clothes, he said, clothe them. They need right. to be fed. He said, feed them.
Right.
I don't know the scripture right now. I can probably pull it up. But there's one out there that says if they need the food, give them food.
That's right. That's
clothes,
right.
give them clothes. Whatever mm-hmm. they need, we supposed to provide.
Right.
Amen.
Man.
Me and Jerome talked about that today, man. To hear me and Jerome talk 22,000 times in our life, man. And today was the first time, man, it was oozing through the phone. I'm talking about he radiated through the phone, man. He was so excited and he was so blessed to be a part of that. And when Glenn when we came up with this idea for this forum, this was not part of it. Mm-hmm. But I've been doing that since 14. Billy done gave me some clothes. Glenn got some stuff for me. And man, like Jerome said, man, I done got all kinds of accolades. Most of them undeservedly. It's nothing like giving somebody something who can't help themselves.
There you go, right?
It's no feeling like it. So moving forward in 21, man, I'm gonna be like really, really urging you guys. When I go to Columbia to do the games, when I'm probably in Columbia, I take clothes down there. It's a place here. America Here Ministry is what kind of I'm affiliated with mostly. But man, Jerome kind of setting the seed, man, but kind of get that in your heart, man.
Right.
We're going to have a lot of opportunities. I think every step of the way, man, I think God wants us to move in a direction like that. He definitely don't want us sitting here kissing faces on Tuesday night only.
Right.
Now together so we can smile every Tuesday. It's a great foundation, but he definitely got something bigger for us in store. So,
man, right. And I'm going to tell y'all another blessing I had with it. You know, doing it with my wife, man.
Yeah.
My wife right there beside me, man. It was a fellowship that she and I had together, man. Y'all, I can't tell you, man, how, you know, my wife seeing me running down the road at one of them guys, man. He was pushing the buggy, and I jumped out the car in the middle of the road, put the flashers on in Baltimore, y'all. Cars going all around me trying to get this dude this blanket. And my wife, I get back to the car, she in there crying because her husband just trying to do the right thing, man. The dude, he was just looking so bad, man. We trying to get it to him. But guys, do it with your wives, man. It's just such a blessing for your relationship. It really was. Glenn know what I'm talking about. Glenn and I done talked this week, man. And it's a God thing. Glenn said something to me, man, and God done made this thing come open. Y'all, I'm gonna tell you something. Every step of the way on Tuesday nights, man, we reaching out to the world, man. We reaching out to people. And I love what it's about. It's making me a better man, a better person.
Right.
I don't like to consider myself a man of God. I don't like to talk like that, but I know that God is doing something in my life.
Right. Right.
Even I don't understand, but I like it. I do like it. So,
amen.
Not only with your wives, me and my wife have taken my son, taking my children, and we're taking food to people's houses during the Thanksgiving. We're taking meal baskets during the holidays to people that didn't have food in the house. I mean, I went to doors, man, and since 1995, this will be the only year, this will be the second time I've missed giving out toys to the homeless. Amen. Not homeless, I'm sorry, to different neighborhoods in Columbia.
Well,
the first time I missed was because I was sick. I'm missing this year because of COVID. They had to redo it.
Exactly. I'm with you, Colonel. Believe it or not,
I've had little kids come to me and say, I asked them what they want for Christmas. This little girl looked me dead in my eyes and told me all I want is for my family to live.
Jesus.
I was done for the rest of the day. That's all she said. She's all I wanted for my family to love me. And for a little girl about 5 or 6 years old, she was about 5 or 6 years old, for her to tell me that. That broke my heart right there on the spot. And as I was leaving that day, I saw that same little girl in the front yard by herself. She was playing with the toy I had gave her.
Jesus.
I guess I'm, you know, guys, I brought something up, man. I guess a lot of you guys been doing this stuff, man, but
yeah,
no,
it just touches.
You need to keep putting what you brought to us is a renewal. Remember when we talked tonight about never stop growing? You brought to us was a refreshing and a renewal of something we can't forget.
Amen.
Because there are people suffering now. Me and my wife talked about this earlier when I came home. I said, do you know there's people right now that don't even know where they're going to feed their children at the night? Their kids are going to bed hungry.
They,
Beginning of the year, they didn't have this problem. Three, 4 months into the year, they in a food line trying to figure out how they go feed their children.
You know,
they ain't thinking about no what's coming for Christmas or nothing like that. They trying to figure out how they go get food on the table.
Yeah. You know, you're right, Prentice.
These homeless, these shelters, these food banks, they are overrun.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we brought a refreshing, a renewal of that. We need to be out there doing even more.
Well, you know, believe it or not, this will be the first year I won't be able to do it because of all the medical bills and stuff I had. But me and my wife, every year around Christmas time, we give out two sandwiches, toothpaste, toothbrush, mouthwash, stuff like I used to do that every year with my wife. This will be the first year I won't be able to because of financial things I had come up. But I promise you, come next year, I'll be back bigger and better. I did $500 worth last couple of years. I plan on doing $1,000 next year.
Come on now.
Good. Yes, sir.
I want to share a testimony with y'all just how good this group is and the fellowship, man, that we have. You know, earlier this week, I called Glenn because I've been struggling. I've been struggling with Baltimore, no COVID pandemic, missing South Carolina. And then talked to Glenn, man, and right after Glenn talked to me, man, God gave me a new purpose.
Cool, Jesus.
See, sometimes when we step out and do what God asks us to do, it's not for them. It's just as much for you as it is for the people that you're helping.
Right. Yeah.
See, that's what God do, man. He opened doors not for you to do good by somebody, but it also to get you on the right track of where he wants you to be as well. I just want everybody to remember that. Sometimes the things we do is just not for the other person. Mm-hmm. It's for you as well.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, Jerome, hey, man, it's like 10 out of 9. First, let me say, Josh, good man. Boy, that's a grand slam, bro.
Yes.
I knew you would. I was fully convinced that you was ready, and you definitely stepped in and did your thing.
Way to go, rookie.
Great job. Way to go, rookie. Shout outs, man. And I don't want to get off, but it's time. Brother George, give me some.
Man, man, you know, I thank God for this group. I want to thank Rick for telling me about the group because I really need this. I need this because in the sense that the growth, even as a minister, I have learned so much from all these men and then this young man gets on tonight and how God used him and how full I am right now to see him and to see how God used him. Mm-hmm. And it just, my heart is so full and so, I mean, it's just, I'm just speechless. And I just want to thank every man that's on this call because y'all have really imparted something into my life because, you know, I still struggle. I struggle with myself, you know, my relationship with God sometimes, even as a minister, because, you know, a lot of times I feel alone. Because I, you know, it's just me. But the blessed part of it is to have you men on this call and to see how God using y'all. And even right where I'm at, and even during this pandemic, God is still blessing all of us. And he's still with me. And I just want to thank y'all for your love and your prayers and everything. Pastor Glenn is on the call. And I just want to, Josh, you just continue to do what you're doing for the Lord, because only what you do for Christ will last. Come on now. It's so powerful to see that. Yeah. And just let God continue to use you, young man. I love you guys. And thank y'all for letting me be a part of this, because I'm just speechless. I just thank God for these men.
Hey, good job. Hey, Rick, it's about time for George to get his 90-day probation.
Yeah. You go ahead and take that off of him now. He good.
Good job, brother. We love you too, bro. For real. Man. Straight up from the bottom of my heart, man. I'm sure everybody feels the exact same way, man. You done brought so much to the group. Brother Brent.
Josh. Man. Your topic tonight has did more for I'ma say for me tonight, just because of where I'm at. These last couple of weeks has been snowballing. One thing after another. And you know, when we've been around a while, you've heard, I'm pretty sure all you have heard the term praise him in your struggle. Mm-hmm. That's easier said than done. Yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of times.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And see, a lot of times in our struggles, we do what we talked about earlier. We get stagnant. We don't want to get out ourselves. We want to be right here and don't move. We want to be selfish. Somebody brought in the word selfish. Mm-hmm. We want to be selfish. And see, that's where I was yesterday. Because I had so many things pulling at me and so many heartstrings, and I'm in a funk of going, you know, you're kind of scared to say it, but I it had to come out of my mouth. But Lord, why? What's next? You know, I got my daughter in the hospital in Charleston. I got my daddy in the hospital in Newberry. I got my sister over here sick with COVID and cancer. I got me over here coughing out my third lung like I'm coughing up a third lung. And I got all this stuff happening at one time to the point I just wanted to shut down and go, look, just I'm done. just let me cower in my little hole and shiver a little bit. You know, let me get our neighbor gaze for a little while. But see, Josh, see, that's why your message hit point tonight.
Yeah, it did.
Because I think at some point, sometimes we all can get like that. Yeah. When the world brings down something on us to try to hold us down from being that light. Mm. You know, we won't preach that word like we're supposed to preach that word. So we won't show that next man that what you know, that knowledge that has been instilled in you like you brought the word tonight. So we don't, and see, that's what we need. That's what is so we need powerful that. About yeah. us.
We need it.
That's what we need. Well, we see a man like Jerome be humble and break down into tears.
Right, right.
Because of servitude, because what God has put on his heart. The wisdom on this page. I love Mr. Charles. I ain't never met him till no more than Zoom. I love Mr. Charles. I love hearing him speak. I love that wisdom. I love all y'all.
Love you too, bro.
Sir, love you too.
Because everybody brings a little something to the table. And we see it from all. Didn't mean to take that long. I'm sorry.
Amen. Yeah, you good, man. We definitely love you too, man. And we definitely appreciate your transparency, man. That's huge, man. It's going to help somebody. If it's not one of us, it's definitely going to help somebody. So thank you. Thank you. Brother Chuck.
Oh, Josh, hey, man, you did a great job, man. And I just want to let you know, man, this is the beginning of a great journey God has in store for you to use you in a way that his name will be glorified and magnified. And
right.
And through your message tonight, I mean, that spiritual growth helped me, because sometimes you get to a point where, for me, I became complacent, because you know, you've been on this journey for so long, you get to a point where you just become stagnant to a certain extent. And what I did, I thought that what the information that I had gathered from the word would carry me through. But let me tell you, it's an ongoing thing. It's a daily thing. Being in the Word daily will strengthen me from the inside. It helps me to grow. And being on the call helps me to hear you guys having struggles, hearing you guys say how God delivered you and brought you through, and having you guys to express what God has shown you through the Word. Man, that's that. You're talking about spiritual growth and encouraging. I mean, it's good. And to see men, godly men, to like Jerome, like all of us, to become emotional. I mean, that's when that heart is soft, that tender heart for God, that tender heart for his Word, and to do what's right and pleasing is his sight. And man, right. That's part of this group and learning from the group and sharing as men. Like I talked about a little bit last week, sometimes it helps to uncover who you are, mm-hmm. to allow God to heal your hurts and your wounds.
Come on now.
Yeah. Right.
Man. Because if I don't uncover, I mean, I'm walking in pride, really.
Right.
Got these issues, and I'm lying to myself to a certain extent, but yet when I pull back the cover and allow God to minister to my hurt, my bruises, my pain, right. That's when he gets the glory.
Right.
And being on here, man, is it's helped me a lot.
Good job, Brother Charles. Good job. Dirty Bird, are you woke now?
And this migraine killing me. I'm trying not to take this pain pill.
Okay, you if you got a migraine, man, just try. You don't need to be saying.
I'm good, man. No, I'm good. I just want to tell him. Yeah, I'm good, man. I want to tell Josh, man. Great lesson, man. Great lesson.
Thank you.
I can tell you, man, that lesson feed into, you know, like Printer was saying, you know, he was going through a whole lot last week. I went through a whole lot the week before, and still a little bit the first part of this week. And I'm telling you now, I see the light at the end of the tunnel now. I see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Amen.
Awesome. I just want to say, you know, I want to thank all you guys for the prayers and everything, man. I'm going to say, when I talked to the daughter Sunday, she's fine. Other than that, Todd, I called both of your games Sunday. I told you that Saturday. I told you that Friday night. So next time, listen to me. You'll win this weekend, though.
Sit down. I thought you had a headache. Anyway, Rick, give me some. You go take some more goodies by Dirty Bird.
You know, when I started on this journey with you guys some months back, I never knew what I was embarking. I just got on it because Todd kept sending me little nuggets here and there about getting on. Then I got hit with this aneurysm, and I thought my world was coming to an end. But, hey, you guys were there to lift me out that darkness. But during that darkness, I realized something. Only one person knew about it was Jerome. Me and my mom never were on good terms. Until after I had that aneurysm. It took that aneurysm to sit me down and make me have a come to Jesus meeting with Jesus, so to speak, to where now I have a relationship with my mom again.
Amen.
Good.
In fact, she's down here. Yeah. She just got here today. I'm going to spend time with her tomorrow.
That's all right, brother. That's all right.
Amen.
That's all right. Look at God.
But
Jesus.
With that being said, I say this. Mm-hmm. No man nor the time nor the hour.
Come on now.
So I encourage each and every one of you to live your best life in God's light. Because we saw y'all just up here praying for me months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I should have checked. Let's be real. I should have checked out, but I didn't. tells me God has a master plan for me.
Come on now.
I'm going to receive it when it comes.
Come on now.
Amen. Amen.
So I challenge each of you to, when you pray,
amen,
be sincere and open your heart.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
To see whatever comes your way. And don't look at it, if it's something negative, don't look at it as a bad thing. Look at it as a learning.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Everyone's going to get hit with that.
Amen.
That's all I got, fellas.
Good job. Good job. Thank you for sharing that, man. That's definitely a praise report right there by itself, man. Thank you. Brother Josh.
I don't really have anything else, man. I just for I think I was when I first started, I was in a place where I felt like I'd achieved a lot on my own, but I was looking for a mentor to help me get to that next phase in life and in my career and with God and just with my family and everything. Right. And I got a phone full of mentors right now. And I mean, I love each and every one of y'all, and I appreciate
it. Love you too.
Everything y'all have done for me.
Love you too. Amen, brother.
Thank you, bro. Love, definitely love you, man. Great, great job. I cannot believe what I
said. That's all right.
Great job. Brother Jerome.
Man, I'm so proud of Josh right now, man. I know he's 6'4", 275. He probably couldn't be my son, but that's how I look at him. he can't be mine, but I look at him as a son, man. I really do, man. I look at him as a son. And I'm not saying this. I hope your wife don't get mad, but I told Tar earlier, I said, Josh is the type of young man that you want your daughter to meet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his humbleness, the way he carries himself.
Right. He's
quiet, don't speak until you know. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of young man that you want your daughter to meet, man. And
right.
Thank you for tonight, man. Being a man of God, you are giving us a good word, man. Something I can get me some nuggets from to help me continue to grow. And one last thing, Josh, man. At your age, I would nowhere close to the man you are.
Jesus. So
what you doing, man. Brother? Keep doing it.
Yep. Yes. Amen.
Good word. Amen. Good word, Jay. Good word.
What do you think about no Jesus?
Josh's message was about spiritual growth, which was awesome. And for me, man, I took it as with what Josh was saying and what's been on Jerome's heart, I take it as it's a message for us collectively to grow together. And in 21, man, I'm going to be shooting stuff out, man. Rick might know. I know Glenn know Alex, right? Prentice might know Alex. He got that it's called All Kind Foundation. And he go out and feed people. And he go out in the community, random community, just feeding people. So I'm going to get with him also. And anybody want to be part of that, I'm going to be just shooting it out. No obligations, but you will have the opportunity. I'm going to share this with you real quick. When Jerome was sharing that with me, I told Jerome, I said, hey, I said, I'm going to do a post right now. I did the post and I had 5 to 6, 7 people said they got stuff for me, right? And then I got like 10 inboxes. And so I'm sharing that with you. We all have access to that, the Facebook guys, and even the people who just got the regular text message. Man, we all got family members that's throwing stuff away or throwing it, taking it to Goodwill. Let's make that be our first group, Every Step of the Way initiative, kind of. To collect them. If I got to pick it all up, I would pick it all up because it's that important to me, man.
Right.
I try to put myself in other people's shoes. Man, can you imagine being outside? I walk outside to the car to put just some socks on. And man, if that don't move you, man, I don't know what to say. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you, man. It was while Jerome was speaking, because he was speaking from the spirit. He was speaking from his spirit. And I said, I'm going to share this post right now about I needed stuff and people. What I think a lot of times in the world that we live in, we feel like people want. But the reason why they won't is because we don't ask.
Right. You have not because you ask not.
Yeah, we ask not. So let's not be the ask not group. Let's be the guys that say, okay, thank you anyway.
So
I just wanted to share that with you guys. Man, I love all y'all. Brother Glenn, take us home.
Amen. Josh, man, awesome word. Yes. You know, always spiritual growth and the growth. And I love the fact that, you know, you use the platform God gave you to remind us, even right. us seasoned ones, that we have not arrived.
Jesus.
We got work to do.
Jesus.
And that
yes, Lord.
You are watching, and that we need to be vigilant about our walk just as well as we try mm-hmm. to tell you to be vigilant about yours.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, I respect you. Mm-hmm. Like Jerome said, I'm proud like a proud daddy right now. That's an awesome thing, man. I bless yes, God for you. You know, being able to apply the word in the right time and the right season,
right.
that's what it's about. And it's just so much more God wants to do through you.
Yes,
again,
sir.
Jerome, man, I mean, define your purpose. God, he will give you things that you did not expect in a place you didn't want to be. And that's yes, just sir. What he's about. You just got to stay open and let him do his thing. Right. Man, I am full. I mean, I think I don't shed more mm-hmm. tears tonight than I have in a long time. Mm-hmm. Bless God, man, that, you know, mm-hmm. it's because mm-hmm. he's doing the work in us. And right. we're not hiding mm-hmm. it. And like Todd said, we have a platform with each other. And, you know, Jesus said he took 12 men, and the Bible said that they turned the world upside down.
Amen.
God is going to do the same thing with this little group. He's going to turn the world upside down.
Amen.
And you know what? I'm not afraid of the challenge. We just got to stay vigilant. And I just bless God for the opportunity to be used by him.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, it's in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for our opportunity, God, to come again, Father. Your group, Father. How, Father, by the way of the Holy Spirit, you continue to lead us from glory to glory, Father. How you open up our understanding by speaking to these men of God, Father, about the word that you have to give every Tuesday night. And, Father, when we're here at 8 o'clock, God, you've already arrived before we got here, Father, to set the atmosphere, God, that you will get all glory, honor, and praise. And, Father, we hold nothing back but give you all glory, honor, and praise. Father, we thank you for every man represented here tonight, Father. Those, Father, who are not quite filling up the standard, God, by the way of their health, Father. You said by your stripes we're healed, Father. So we turn it over to you, God, knowing that you can fix it, God, that you can turn it around, God, and you can deliver us from every ache and pain that the enemy has spread forth in our life, God. Father, we thank you, Father, for the initiative you give us to be servants unto these your people, God. Those that other people have counted all lost, God, we see value because they are your children, Father. Father, you say that he that lendeth unto the poor lendeth unto you, and you repay. So to repay, God, that you give us strength and life and allow us to open our eyes once again, another day, renew blessings, God, to give you all glory, honor, and praise. Father, we thank you for that gift right now. Father, as we go forth the rest of our week, Father, we ask you to open up doors, God, that no man can shut, and shut doors no man can open. Plant our feet in your word, God. Let it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, God, that we will get your word hotter in our heart that we may not sin against you. Father, we thank you for your servant that you have used tonight, Josh, Father, and the virtue that he poured out by way of the scripture that he's given. Father, return that virtue and favor back unto him 1,000-fold, God. Continue to use him, God. Strengthen him even more. Open up his understanding, God, that he will be able to share when you call him to share. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Jerome's life, what you're doing in Rick's life, what you're doing in all of our lives, God. Continue to be with us as we go forward. It's in the master's name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. All in agreement, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, man. Y'all have a good week. Love everybody, man.
All right. Love you guys. Love y'all. Love y'all.
Later.